About 3 weeks ago, I went to visit Amherst, Massachusetts, and I was walking in the main street looking for bookstores and fabric stores, and I noticed the graveyard behind some of the stores. And I walked over there, and I remember that Emily Dickinson lived in Amherst and was probably buried there. So I went and I saw her grave, and she's right next to her sister Lavinia and right next to her father. The interesting thing is I've been in Amherst so many times and it never occurred to me that she'd be there. She's one of my favorite poets. And a couple of weeks before, I had just written a sestina called An Introduction to Emily Dickinson, which I'm going to read for you. I'm not going to tell you which of the six repeating end words are. See if you can get them. And what I wanted to do was start off almost like a lecture in this poem. And then I started remembering all these little anecdotes about Emily Dickinson that have to do with my own life. So I thought, oh, I'll throw that stuff in too. Because the hardest thing about the sestina, since it's so long, is how to keep it interesting. So I figured a little gossip never hurts. An introduction to E.D. In 1830, Emily Dickinson was born into the paradise on earth of Amherst, Massachusetts, and rarely left its white circumference. Out of 1,775 poems she wrote, in her day, she saw only 8 of them published. What an introduction to the literary world. They were punctuated with dashes. Pure and terrible is how she described her father's heart, but Emily never married and never had the heart to leave him. Like an angel or nun inhabiting paradise, a patron saint, C.F. William Carlos Williams, Emily dashed in and out of her heavenly garden dressed in a white habit. After reading the complete poem's introduction, its index of first lines, I counted 26 poems ending with day. My writer friend Robert worked as a caretaker day and night in the Dickinson Mansion, a beat in the heart of Main Street. Visiting poets needed no formal introduction or appointment. They could casually enter the paradise of Emily's living room, French doors alternating with white marble fireplaces, but no little desk where Emily dashed off poems on brown paper bags. Father's huge bed, the one dash of furniture left in the house that had seen better days. Robert camped out in his sleeping bag with a copy of The White Goddess, too worshipful to sleep upstairs, ate his heart out beneath Emily's bare bedroom on this side of paradise. Upstairs, he'd had headaches, blinded by the sun's introduction. Laurie G. sent me E.D.'s cookbook, her Bible, whose introduction proved it was genuine, no joke. Hundreds of dashes and dots on its pages, a Morse code of souls in paradise. Emily's recipe for federal cake could feed a dazed army of poets. Now, so much butter stops the heart. Can you imagine Emily up to her elbows in white flour, 10 cups of flour, and 21 cups of pulverized white sugar, 5 eggs, half pint of milk, added after the introduction of butter? This is not recommended for the faint-hearted baker or poet, whose batter's no simple slapdash operation. Roses and a federal loaf arrived one day at Mrs. Boltwood's. Some gifts are more hell than paradise. It's true, the terrified heart is no paradise lost. Frightened, white, Emily greets Higginson, dashes into his hand 2 daylilies. These are my introduction.